Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's October 5th, 2018 program. Oregon House District 14 with candidates Rich Cunningham, Republican, and Julie Fahey, Democrat. I'd like to thank our program coordinators, Kyle Shreve, Catherine Schott, and the League of Women Voters. My name is Eric Richardson. I am the president-elect of City Club. And thank you for supporting City Club. You can become a member of City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We do have both business and in-kind sponsors, including our diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente. They exist to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the community we serve. More information can be found at www.kp.org. And our Sapphire sponsor, Palo Alto Software. For more than 20 years, the Palo Alto Software Company has had a commitment to educating and empowering entrepreneurs and small businesses. With their headquarters in Eugene, they are best known for the Live Plan, a lean planning software tool. For more information, contact paloalto.com. Today, our moderator will be 10-year veteran reporter of KLCC, Tiffany Eckard. Please welcome Tiffany to the podium.
Thank you, Eric. I am Tiffany Eckard. I am with KLCC Public Radio. Thank you for coming this afternoon. We will be hearing from two candidates seeking a seat on Oregon's House District number 14. The candidates here are the incumbent, Democrat Julie Fahey, and a challenger, Republican Rich Cunningham. I want to let you know that they're going to start today with an opening statement, each giving a two-minute statement. Timekeeper will be helping to keep you both in time. 1 minute for each question answered, and 2 minute closing statements. Audience, there are cards on your table, and as you've heard, there are folks who will, once you've written legibly a question, raise them in the air, and they will be picked up and brought over here for us to vet and then ask the candidates. Please do limit your applause. You can applaud after the opening statements and then wait till the end so that we can get as many questions answered and hear what's happening in this forum. We flipped a coin, sort of. We ended up doing a bit more negotiating, but we will start with Julie Fahey. She has decided to come up to the podium to give her opening statement, but beforehand, let me introduce her with a little bit of a background. Democratic candidate Julie Fahey served as the chair of the Democratic Party of Lane County from 2012 to 2014. In the Oregon legislature, she currently serves on the House Committees on Business and Labor, Economic Development and Trade, and Higher Education and Workforce Development, as well as the Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. I will introduce her challenger after her opening statement.
Thank you, Tiffany. Hello, everyone. I'm Julie Fahey, and I'm running for re-election as the state representative from House District 14, which includes West Eugene, Bethel, and Junction City. Thank you so much to City Club for hosting here today, and to everyone who came out to hear what we have to say, and to those listening on the radio. I think it is so important that we have people civically engaged in their democracy at all levels of government, but particularly state and local government. So many of the decisions we make at the state and local government level have a bigger impact on our lives than those made in DC. So I'm grateful for the opportunity today to talk through some of the issues facing our state. I ran for the legislature because I am passionate about making sure that everyone in Oregon has a chance to succeed in life, regardless of where they come from and what their background is, and about making sure that we offer some level of economic security to working families in the middle class. Those are the issues that really drive me and are the reason why I'm running for re-election. And I'm proud to say that in my first term in the legislature, we made real significant progress for working families. We passed the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which was the most comprehensive reproductive health care bill in the entire country, and I was proud to be a chief sponsor of that bill. We also passed the strongest equal pay law in the entire country, which will help ensure equal pay for equal work. And we passed the first statewide fair scheduling bill in the entire country, which will give more workers certainty in their schedules so that they can plan for childcare, education, or a second job. But there's still much more we need to do. Improving our education system, addressing the housing crisis here in Oregon, passing a paid family and medical leave program, doing our part as a state to address climate change, and making sure that every Oregonian has access to healthcare that they can actually afford to use. So again, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today, and I'm looking forward to answering your questions.
Thank you, Julie. The Republican candidate seeking a seat on Oregon's House District 14 is Rich Cunningham. Rich Cunningham is currently serving his second four-year term, as a director on the Bethel School Board. Rich has raised his kids, coached high school baseball and softball, and helped to oversee the replacement of two outdated schools, the construction of a new science wing at Willamette High School, and the establishment of a working farm at Kalapuya High School. Welcome, Rich Cunningham.
I would like to thank City Club for sponsoring this event today. I've had the opportunity to serve the last 12 years in public office, 4 years on the eWeb board, and it's 11 years, so 7.5 years, say, on the Bethel School Board. Over this time, I have found that funding for education is just not responsible. We all complain that we're having a bad day. And we all complain that there's no education funding, no money to pay teachers, the class sizes are too much, and everything else. The responsibility for that lies in the legislature. The legislature has asked us to implement the quality education model, which would give Colt Gill the power to improve public education. But they won't fund it. Every 2 years, there's not enough money. There's too many other programs that have been promised money by the Democratic majority. And we get to the point where we need to have these programs. And we had full-day kindergarten come in several years ago, wonderful program going from a half-day to a full-day. And the children enjoy it. The children it's one of the places you go in the morning to say, I really want to go see these kids, and I invite you to go and visit the Bethel schools and see what happens in all-day kindergarten someday. But the roll-up costs, they paid us $2 million the first year to fund the program, but they have never backed us up on it. They have never covered the roll-up costs. They've never covered the roll-up costs on any state mandates. It's time to elect a legislature that's going to fund education, not just talk about it, and that's why I decided to run. And I'll let it go with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich Cunningham. We're going to just roll right into questions. There have been questions already submitted by the League of Women Voters, and I encourage you to start writing your questions, audience. Let's begin with this question. Oregon is among the few states that have no limits on campaign contributions to state and local candidates. How do you plan on addressing campaign finance reform? Ms. Fahey, let's start with you.
Absolutely, I believe that campaign finance reform is something that we need to take action on at the state level. I would love to see Citizens United overturned at the federal level, but there are things that we can do at the state level that would help as well. We have great transparency in campaign finance in Oregon. You can go online and find out, who is contributing to which campaigns. But the questioner is right. We don't have any limits on campaign contributions. And we're seeing how that plays out right now in the governor's race. Phil Knight gave Newt Bueller $1.5 million in his campaign. And I think it's completely unacceptable that one person or one entity could have that much influence on a single election. When I ran for office in 2016, I was outspent by 50% in both my primary and my general. And while we won, because we knocked on many doors and talked, had one-on-one conversations with voters, that was an incredible hurdle to people who are newer to public service, underserved folks running for office.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham?
Yeah, thank you. I would just like to say that I'm currently being outspent at a rate of about 68,000 to 200. But that's okay. I've been sold out by the Republican Party because they have deemed House District 14 not the best targetable race. It's a corrupt system, campaign financing in Oregon. It really and truly is. And I have proposed in my campaign to limit House races to 25,000, including the primary, and to limit Senate races to 50,000, to limit the governor's races to 3 million, and any other statewide race to $750,000. I think we could have real answers on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you support the National Popular Vote Compact? If so, what would you do to move this forward in Oregon? And if not, please explain how you believe Oregon voters are best represented in the U.S. presidential election. Ms. Fahey?
I absolutely support the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact. I was a sponsor of the bill when it passed the House last year. Under that compact, once enough states join the compact to have enough electoral votes to elect the president, the electoral votes in Oregon would go to the winner of the popular vote nationwide, not just in Oregon. The challenge with that bill has been in the Senate. It has not been put to a vote in the Senate. So our job is to make sure that our senators understand the importance of that bill and why it would mean that Oregon voters would actually have a vote and a say in who our next presidential and who our next president is. I've been very vocal about my support. I've gone on radio shows and talked about why it's an important priority for Oregon to pass it.
Mr. Cunningham.
Yeah, I support direct election of the President of the United States. I voted for Hillary Clinton last time because I thought that it was time for a woman to be elected president, and I still do think that. Thank you.
What is your view of the Clean Energy Job Bill, the bills introduced in the 2018 session, and what would you be looking to accomplish in the 2019 legislature to address climate change and energy efficiency?
Alternate,
you want to start, Mr. Cunningham?
Sure.
Go for it.
I'm not familiar with the legislation, to be honest with you. I've concentrated my campaign mostly on the cost of public education, working class jobs, working class pay, and health care for all Oregonians. However, I would certainly support anything that would help control the climate change, as although Washington now tells us it doesn't exist.
I think climate change is one of the greatest challenges of our time, and that we have an obligation as Oregonians to do what we can to address it. We have made some significant strides in Oregon. We've had the coal to clean bill that will help get us off coal, our electrical supply off coal, and the clean fuels program. But I still believe that there is much more we need to do. I was a sponsor of the Clean Energy Jobs Bill, which is a cap and invest program to put a price on carbon here in Oregon. When it was in the legislature in both the 2017 and the 2018 session. And I plan to sign on as a sponsor again in 2019. I believe that we have a real chance to actually pass that legislation this time around. There's been a legislative committee that's been created to really go through all of the details on this policy, because the details really do matter on a cap and invest kind of policy. And so they're gonna bring their recommendations forward for the 2019 session, and I plan to support them.
Thank you. Right, we have a couple of questions here regarding Oregon's public schools, and if I might blend these, how will you work to address the approximately $2 billion shortfall in funding Oregon's public schools? Mr. Cunningham?
The $2 billion shortfall in funding Oregon schools, I've proposed to fund over a three-year three budget cycle implementation of the quality education model. I believe there should be on corporations making over $50 million a year, a 2% net tax on their sales. And that should go directly to education. I believe that the people, even if that went to a ballot, if it was targeted directly for education and the politicians couldn't get their hand on it for anything else, it would pass and pass with a wide margin.
It's absolutely correct. We have been underfunding education in this state for far too long, in part because of the impact of Measure 5 in the 90s. The quality education model says that we should be funding our education, K-12 education, at about $10 billion per biennium, and the current biennium's budget is $8.2 billion. Earlier this year, I was put on a new committee in the legislature called the Joint Committee on Student Success. And we've been on a tour around the state, visiting schools, programs, districts, and talking with parents, teachers, administrators, and business leaders about what are the specific things that need to change in our schools, and importantly, how are we going to fund those things. And we're going to bring forth recommendations to the legislature in 2019. A piece of that solution has to be corporate tax reform. When you look at the overall picture of how much taxes in Oregon do individuals pay when you add everything all together, we are slightly above the average state. When you look at how much businesses paid, add all together, we are near the bottom.
Thank you. You know, we're getting a lot of questions with regard to education. This is a very important topic for this audience and for the League of Women Voters. So you both started to talk about this, and I wonder if there are any additional priorities that you would place with regard to education and education funding in Oregon. If you want to just elaborate a little further, okay. Heard you talking about taxation businesses and other priorities. So Ms. Fahey, could you just further elaborate?
Sure. One of the big things that I've seen on the tour around the state of different schools is the need for early childhood education. We are significantly behind under other states in our investment in early learning. And that means both preschool, but also things like parent education programs and home visiting programs from the prenatal to five time frame. Many of the issues we're seeing in our K-12 education system could be solved if we invested more dollars upstream. In the early years of a child's development. And what the long-term economic studies that economists have done on early learning really show that when states spend money in that time frame of a child's life, you see long-term returns in the K-12 system, in reduced costs in healthcare, the criminal justice system, and our child welfare system. So I believe investments in early learning aren't just the right thing to do for our children, they're also one of the ways that we can help address our long-term structural budget issues in Oregon.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham.
I have no doubt you're sincere about that, and I have no doubt that you feel that. I feel the same way. It's just a question of how do you get it funded. And part of the problem around here is every 2 years, for as long as I've been on the school board, the Democrats don't up education to where it needs to be, the legislature, I should say, not the Democrats. They don't up education the way it should be funded. And they kick the can down the road for another 2 years and appoint a committee to go around the state traveling, which comes back with legislation but never passes anything. So I think we all need to sit down at the table and not get up until we have a deal on education that benefits the children.
Thank you. How can Oregon improve services for the mentally ill, including those who end up incarcerated rather than treated? Ms. Fahey?
There are a couple of different ways that we can do that. And, you know, unfortunately, some of the challenge comes down to funding. And so it goes back to our need for corporate tax reform to help fund the services that Oregonians rely on and that they ask for in their state government. I was very proud to have fought to keep the Junction City Hospital open last year. In the initial budget proposal that came out in December of 2016, it was proposed that the Junction City Hospital would be closed. And the reality is that there are always going to be some folks who need a hospital level of acute care. And so to close that system, that hospital would have had a significant impact on both our mental health care system in Lane County, but also our public safety system as well. So I was, you know, proud to be working and fighting to keep that hospital open last year.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham.
It was my understanding that Senator Manning kept the hospital open, but I'm glad they both did. We have the first farm at Kalapuya High School. That right now is growing vegetables at a rate that is just about feeding the kids in the hot lunch program, salads, what have you. We will get to the point at that high school where we're growing things that are going to be able to, given to the community. We already have a setup every Monday at Cascade Middle School where anyone that lives anywhere in Eugene can come and check out the free vegetables. And that's a program run by a couple of retired teachers in the Bethel District, and it's been highly popular. And I think that's a start. How we finish it is as Julie said, that we need funding.
Thank you. Do either of you disagree with your national party's platform? Any positions whatsoever? And if so, which specific ones do you disagree with? Okay, let's start with you, Mr. Cunningham.
Thank you. Someone asked me, I think it was from the Oregonian the other day, what I thought of Donald Trump, and I said, I think he should get out of the White House and get out today. But the... Washington is so screwed up right now. And part of it is because, you know, I was taught growing up by my parents and my grandparents that if you have a dream, sit down and talk about your dream. If you have a solution, sit down with the same people and talk about the solution. Because people sitting at the same table with dreams and solutions can change the world.
Thank you. Julie Fahey?
Well, I would say I have not read the National Democratic Party platform, so I'm not sure whether I disagree with anything that's in it. I have looked through the Democratic Party of Oregon platform, and I could talk through some areas where I have certainly stepped away from my party in the state. One of them was in the special session that was called in May this year to address the pass-through tax break. So the governor called the special session because she wanted to add sole proprietors to the pass-through tax break that was passed a few years ago. I think that's a great idea to extend that small business tax break to the smallest of our businesses. I just really thought strongly that we should pay for that tax break, that it shouldn't be an unfunded addition to our budget. And so, and we should pay for it by trimming back the higher income folks who would be eligible for it. And so I voted against my party in that special session in May.
Thank you. Just to ride this way for a second, we've seen in Washington, D.C., partisanship illustrated in pretty bold strokes. So would you both just, even if it doesn't take a whole minute, talk about why you are a member of the parties you've chosen? Rich?
I'm going to be honest. Okay, mine was for the rawest of political reasons. The numbers showed I couldn't win a primary, but if I got to November, I'd have a chance. That's why I ran as a Republican.
Thank you. Julie Fahey.
I'm a lifelong Democrat, and I'm a Democrat because of my values and my positions on the issues. You know, I believe in women's rights and that women should have control over the decisions they make for their own bodies, including abortion. I believe in LGBTQ rights and that we shouldn't discriminate against people because of who they love. I believe in workers' rights and their ability to, and that we shouldn't interfere with their ability to form a union. And immigrant rights, and that we should need to do what we can to combat racial profiling and to, you know, combat the legacy of historical discrimination that people still feel today. I believe in protecting our environment and doing what we can to address climate change. And healthcare for all Oregon, and common sense gun regulations, and that corporations must pay their fair share in taxes, and campaign finance reform. So, you know, of course, I don't always agree with my party, as I just gave an example for, but Those are really the values that drive me and the reasons why I'm a Democrat.
Thank you both for that. All right, two gun safety initiative drives faced legal challenges that ultimately kept them off the 2018 November ballot. If elected, how will you work with constituents across the political spectrum to address gun violence? Julie Fahey.
In particular, the potential initiative around safe gun storage, I think, is something that is broadly supported by not just the majority of Oregonians, but the majority of gun owners. And so I've been, you know, talking with the folks who backed that initiative about bringing it forward to the legislature, and that I would support the different proposals that they had around ensuring, you know, protection for ensuring that guns stay out of the hands of children, and that folks need to have their gun locked up when they're not using it, and that if your gun is lost or stolen, you have to report it to the police within a certain period of time. So I think, you know, there really can be common ground on this issue, and there is common ground. When you look at sort of what are the measures that actually are, the research shows can keep people safe from gun violence, and that are supported by, you know, a supermajority of Americans, there's plenty of ground here that we can cover.
Thank you. Rich Cunningham.
I agree. I support that as well. I also support a 72-hour wait on the purchase of a firearm, any firearm, rifle, gun, handguns, any of that. I think that gives time for a little longer background check, because you can get into a situation where a person's buying a gun and they run the check, and the police can put that through NCIC like that. But it might not come up with a psychological problem. And I think that down the road, that's where the addressing needs to know. And I forget the name of the plates they call them, but I want to eliminate those plates so that empower these little machine guns to fire as rapid as they do. You know, we've seen time and time again what it's done in public schools around the country. And I'll tell you, for the year that I was the chair of the Bethel School District a year and a half ago, my biggest fear was something would happen on my watch.
Thank you. I want to just remind everyone on reset here, you're listening to the City Club of Eugene. This forum is on the Oregon House District 14 race, and we are joined by Democratic candidate Julie Fahey, Republican candidate Rich Cunningham. I'm Tiffany Eckert. What ideas do you have for increasing affordable housing, and do you support Measure 102? And that is the housing for bonding for housing. So maybe we start with you, Julie Fahey.
I absolutely support Measure 102. I voted for the referral in the legislature. It is a statewide constitutional amendment that will help local communities build affordable housing. Right now, there is a constitutional ban on local governments working with nonprofits or local businesses to build affordable housing with public bonds. And 102 would lift that law, or would lift that ban. And I think, you know, it will help make local affordable housing bonds go further without increasing costs to taxpayers. And it's a small change that will help thousands more Oregonians access affordable housing in those communities that choose to pass bonds. We are absolutely in a housing crisis here in Oregon, and I know that there is no perfect solution. There is no one solution to the housing crisis. But there are lots of small actions we can take that will help. And Measure 102 is one of them, I believe. I also worked on a bill last year, Senate Bill 1051, that would have made it easier for people to put ADUs in their homes.
Thank you. Rich Cunningham.
Yeah, I support 102 as well. And the housing crisis I see firsthand on a daily basis going door to door. It is just getting tighter and tighter and tighter in the Bethel area and the Junction City area. Housing values have soared from what used to sell for $150,000 is now selling for $350,000 out there, and it's just insanity. There's no plans at the moment to build any further affordable housing out there, which I intend to introduce some legislation to require communities to do that. I'd like to encourage my opponent. I took the opportunity to ride on a ride-along with the Eugene Police Department on the 4 to midnight shift. I don't know if you've done that yet, but if you do it, take the time and see these shacks that people are living in off of Highway 99 in our own district.
Thank you. We will be getting to many of the, if not all, the ballot measures that voters will be making decisions upon. But right now, wondering each of your positions on Measure 105, on the question of repealing the status of sanctuary state for Oregon. Can we start with you, Rich Cunningham?
I was the lead signer on the Sanctuary Cities resolution passed by the three school districts, and it was signed by myself as the chair of the Bethel School District. It was signed by Mary Walston, who was the chair of the 4J district at the time, and I can't remember who was the chair of the Springfield Committee, but it was also signed by that person. And we took immediate action when that happened, and that resolution was passed within 72 hours of good old Donald's games in that area.
Thank you. Julie?
I oppose Measure 105. It would throw out our decades-old sanctuary law here in Oregon, and that law passed in the 80s with broad bipartisan support from both Democrats and Republicans. And it's been keeping Oregonians safe from racial profiling for the last 30 years. Our sanctuary law ensures that local law enforcement resources can't be used to detain people who are suspected only of violating federal immigration law. In other words, limited local public safety resources will be kept in our community and can't be used to enforce, to do the job of federal immigration enforcement. Under our sanctuary law, local police can always investigate, detain, hold people accountable, both immigrant and not, for having committed crimes, if they commit crimes and harm our community. But I worry that if Measure 105 passes, it will open the door to racial profiling for someone who's perceived to be, just because of their perceived to be an undocumented immigrant.
Thank you both. Let's move to Measure 106, which would remove state funding for abortion. Let's start with you, Julie Fahey.
I oppose Measure 106. I think, plain and simple, it is a backdoor ban on abortion. It makes it so that only wealthy Oregonians will be able to access abortion. And I just firmly believe that a right is not a right if you cannot afford to access it. No matter how you feel about abortion, we should not be denying access to healthcare for people just because they can't afford it. And it's one of the reasons why I was a champion of the Reproductive Health Equity Act last year, that I believe that people should be able to choose when and how they become a parent.
Thank you. Rich Cunningham.
This is where we're going to differ a little bit. I had a daughter born at 24 weeks, and I saw firsthand what was involved in the neonatal intensive care unit and what have you. She had brain bleeds, several other issues during that time. And I'm very proud to say that she is now an honors student at the University of Oregon. And under certain laws that were in effect at that time, her pregnancy could have been terminated. And she is a living, breathing being. And I support a bill in Oregon that would limit abortion to the 20th week. I feel that by 5 months along in a pregnancy, you ought to know whether you're going to want to have that baby or not.
So where do you stand on Measure 106?
I support 106.
Thank you. Let's look at Measure 103. There's been a little conversation about this, banning sales tax on groceries. So Julie Fahey, let's start with you. Talk about where you stand on this measure.
Okay, I oppose Measure 103. I think the central idea behind it sounds reasonable to many people, right? We should make sure that life's basic necessities like food should remain tax-free. But this measure really is anything but reasonable. It goes well beyond food purchased at grocery stores and would include things like e-cigarettes, and it would ban taxes on e-cigarettes or on meals at restaurants. And it doesn't actually include many things that are basic necessities, like medicine or diapers or even toilet paper. And so I feel like this measure is sort of flawed beyond redemption, and it would lock in this unprecedented tax loophole into our Constitution. And no other state has a constitutional amendment like that. It would essentially create permanent tax loopholes for larger corporations like Walmart or, you know, Albertsons, Kroger, those sorts of companies. So, you know, ultimately, I think it's a risky and an unnecessarily amendment to our Constitution.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham?
Yeah, I support it. There's been talk that the legislature is going to impose two taxes when they go back into session. One's the tax that comes up from California, I forget the name of it off the top of my head now, and that they're going to impose some sort of sales tax or do a referral on a sales tax. If you're going to have a sales tax in Oregon, two things. You don't charge people, you don't tax people's food, and you don't tax their clothing. And I think the clothing should be the next one brought before the voters. Thank you.
Thank you. There's one more measure that I wondered what your position is on, and I can assure you that this is one of the least talked about in my circles. Measure 104 adds fees to supermajority requirements at legislative level beyond taxes. Anybody? Mr. Cunningham?
My opponent believes that one more Democrat should be elected in order to get to the supermajority. I saw that in the paper. I believe that you need a legislature in the eyes of Mark Hatfield and Dave Frohmeyer and Tom McCall, who brought people together, who brought each side together. Now, I'm not saying bringing my party together is going to be the easiest thing in town, because I've never seen so many people opposed to things in all my life. But I believe going to the legislature, we must bring everyone together. We must start to include each other, not try and find the super majorities to get. That doesn't get the job done for the people. One party can corrupt.
So again, you oppose 104?
I oppose, yeah.
Thank you. Julie Fahey.
I oppose Measure 104. We already have in our Constitution a supermajority requirement for new taxes in Oregon. So what Measure 104 would do is it would extend that supermajority requirement to any time the legislature wanted to get rid of a wasteful or ineffective tax break. This amendment is on the ballot solely because special interests want to lock in and protect their tax breaks and loopholes. That is it. And they want to do it with a constitutional amendment that would sort of lock in those tax breaks in law. And so from my point of view, the only thing that Measure 104 does is it makes it harder for the legislature to actually close, you know, wasteful or outdated tax loopholes that benefit special interests.
Thank you. On that thread, please tell us how you would work with elected officials and other stakeholders to address Oregon's tax system and revenue shortfalls. Mr. Cunningham?
I don't believe the revenue shortfall right now. I believe they don't have enough to pay all the special interest money they want to pay out, because they've promised just about every group in the state that they're going to be included in the state budget. I believe that it's a matter of choosing. It's a matter of choosing what you fund. And the kids are going to come first with me, because that's who I'm going to fund first, because they're the future of Oregon. And no one up in that legislature is taking care of that. No one up in that legislature is bringing the people to the table, locking the door, and keeping them there until it's time to adopt a bill and making sure it happens. And that's what I think we need to do. And if I can't see some accomplishment in that, I won't run for re-election, because I'll be fed up anyway.
Thank you. Ms. Fahey.
If there's one thing that I've learned in my first term in office is that process really matters in the legislature. You can't just go away and lock yourself in your office and come up with some brilliant idea to solve a problem and think that it's going to pass in the legislature. You actually need to work across the aisle and talk with people of both parties and talk with stakeholders that will be impacted by your solution. And so that's exactly the approach that we are taking right now with the Student Success Committee. We are going around the state and we are talking with all stakeholders involved in the education system and people who would be involved in any changes to our taxation system. That is a critical part of the process of actually getting something done, is talking with students and teachers and business leaders and community members about what they want to see and how they think that we should fund it. That kind of buy-in is how we got to agreement on the transportation package last year in terms of raising new revenue. It ended up being a bipartisan vote. And it's my hope that we'll do that for our education system as well.
Thank you. If elected, what, if any, what plan might you have to introduce legislation? Please describe it. Mr. Cunningham.
I'm going to pre-file three bills before, I don't know if you can do that or not. I got to find out. You pre-file them before you take the oath? Okay, if you can. I'd like to pre-file the bills in December so they can be heard in January and February. One will be to implement the quality education model and the funding thereto over the next three bienniums. The second one will be to create a blue ribbon commission to come up with legislation to find a way to handle our PERS crisis, which is about $24 billion. It's functionally bankrupt at this point. And the third thing would be, I really want to work on a piece of legislation that will guarantee health care to all Oregon citizens.
Thank you. Julie Fahey.
I have a fairly long list of bills that I'm working on for the 2019 session. So I'll talk about a couple of different things. One is that in the short session in this year, I had a bill addressing the issue of wage theft in the construction industry. So in the construction industry has one of the highest rates of wage theft of any industry, and people are paid under the table, firms are unlicensed. And when construction workers actually do file a claim with the Bureau of Labor and Industries, they're much less likely to actually recover unpaid wages than folks in other industries are. So I've been working for the last few months with a large group of stakeholders from, general contractors, subcontractors, unions, labor representatives, to try and come to an agreement on how we can fix this problem. And so we'll have a couple of proposals forward on that next year. I'm also really interested in the issue of mobile home parks and protecting the tenants of those parks. They tend to own their homes but rent the land underneath them, so are really vulnerable to sudden rent increases.
Thank you very much. Let's talk about redistricting. How do you feel about it, and how do you think it should be handled next time around? It's coming up. Ms. Fahey?
Yeah, there'll be another round of redistricting after the 2020 census. And so, I firmly believe that voters should choose their elected officials. Elected officials shouldn't choose their voters. So we need to make sure that our redistricting process is fair and that it's nonpartisan and that, we draw districts that are representative of the community, where communities of interest can be grouped together. House District 14 has a couple of particular challenges because I represent a number of different neighborhoods in the Eugene area. I have a little bit of River Road, some of Santa Clara, some of Churchill, but not all of Bethel, and then Junction City. And so we've sort of carved up the River Road neighborhood and the Santa Clara neighborhood so that there are multiple legislators who represent those neighborhoods, and Churchill as well. It would be much easier if all of Santa Clara or all of River Road were under the purview of one legislator.
Thank you. Mr. Cunningham.
This district is really kind of amazing. It's got a little tiny thing that goes up Churchill towards Churchill High School, and it goes like this. And then it goes, and it cuts it all out, goes back to West 18th Street, and it's a nutty way to draw a map, I got to tell you. But it was done for the purest of political reasons to keep Val Hoyle in office at the time, and because she had two very tight elections. And it's just, I don't know if you might not know this or not, but you also represent Alvador. And that is out in Junction City area, and there are several hundred people out there that are represented by in-house District 14, kind of on the way to the dam area of, but redistricting by its very rule is a political game, and it should not be. There should be a bipartisan commission appointed to do it.
Thank you. This is a pretty broad question, but at the same time, should health insurance companies be able to increase prices or deny care for people with pre-existing conditions? So that's pretty much the phrase there, pre-existing conditions. Where do you stand on the treatment of those, Mr. Cunningham?
No.
Also no.
Very good.
And that it's obviously prohibited at the federal level now, but with sort of some of the Trump administration's attack on the Affordable Care Act, it's something we should consider in terms of enshrining it into Oregon law.
Yeah, I believe that's the reason for the question. What will you do as a legislator to protect Oregonians' schools from gun violence? Mr. Cunningham?
I take this. You will find, I joke all the time, and it's really not a joke. Most of the elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools are now secure in Lane County. They're secure schools. You have to go through a fence to get in. And you say we've made them all minimum security prisons. But the parents are okay with that. And there is a project called the Alice Project that is part of the school's training for the personnel that it goes into the protection of the school, what to do in case there's an active shooter situation, how do you handle an invasion in there, and what have you. But most of the doors and most of the gates to these schools remain locked and are controlled in the central office at this time.
Thank you. Julie Fahey?
So there are two areas that I would work on to address the issue of gun violence in schools. One, as I mentioned earlier, is doing some work to keep guns out of the hands of children. The data shows that the majority of school shootings are committed with guns that are acquired from the shooter's home or the home of a friend or family member. And so the work that the safe storage folks are doing to try and make sure that, you know, guns in the home are locked up and kept out of the hands of kids is incredibly important in that. The other piece is access to mental health services. That has been one of the strongest themes that we have heard out of our tour on the Student Success Tour. And it's what the students themselves are asking for. There was a survey that was done of Oregon's high school students earlier this year, and the number one policy thing they wanted us to work on was increasing access to mental health services. That has to be a part of any conversation about reducing gun violence in our schools.
Thank you. How do you feel about a possible $15 an hour minimum wage, effective now? Written here.
I would support that.
Say it again.
I would support that.
You support a $15 minimum wage starting now?
I do.
Okay. Ms. Fahey?
The Oregon legislature acted a few years ago to increase, in 2016, to increase the minimum wage here in Oregon. So over time, there's different regions in the state, and over time, the minimum wage for those regions are going to be increased significantly. And I believe the Portland area will get to $15 an hour, although it might have been $14.75. And so the approach behind that recognizes that there's different costs of living in different parts of the state, and different sort of, you know, different business needs, different economic realities. So I supported that approach to increase the minimum wage here in Oregon. I think it was a hard-fought battle in the legislature, and we passed it. And as a result, there are many Oregonians that have benefited from those increases to the minimum wage.
Thank you. What strategies should the state of Oregon undertake to improve passenger and freight rail service, both to reduce freeway traffic and to ensure market access for Oregon products. Mr. Cunningham?
I think you've got to fix the infrastructure of it starting first. You have to have stations that will be able to handle an increased load. You have to have tracks that will be able to include more than two trains going in either direction during the day, as you have right here in Eugene. And you need to find the funds to do that. Now, our great president has said we're going to have all the funds we need for the infrastructure. I haven't seen any yet. So we're still waiting. And he's also promised to build new schools. So we're waiting on that, too, because if he'd write a check to that, it would save the voters out in Bethel another bond issue in a couple of years.
Thank you. Ms. Fahey?
Rail, transportation by rail, is one of those issues that I was definitely not an expert on when I came into the legislature. But it's something that I've started to work on solely because of the needs of the district. In West Eugene, we have a large number of industrial companies that have a high degree of transportation needs. They need to get their goods to market. And particularly with the closure of the Port of Portland and Terminal 6 and the container shipping, the transportation costs for those businesses are significantly higher than they used to be. And we're having to have more trucks on the road with more emissions, and which is damaging to our environment. And makes the makes our highways, particularly 126 out to the coast, less safe. So one of the things I've been doing is working to help support the Coos Bay Rail Line, that is the short line railway that connects West Eugene out to the Port of Coos Bay. There are major investments that need to be made to help fix their bridges and make it so trains can go more faster and get their goods to the port.
Thank you. What actions can the legislature take to address the opioid crisis? Ms. Fahey?
I think there's two different tacks that I would take to address the opioid crisis. First off, there's a legislative committee. The governor has convened an opioid abuse task force that of industry experts and legislators and folks that are going to come up with a set of recommendations next year on what the state should do. But from my point of view, there's two ways to attack it. One is the supply of opioids and preventing them from getting out into the market. And then the second is treatment. So we need to take a look at prescribing guidelines, at drug take-back programs, providing more opportunities for consumers to get rid of the opioids that are already in their medicine cabinets, because the research shows that initial access to opioids is often from your grandmother's medicine cabinet. And then we need to expand treatment options for people who have already in the throes of addiction. And that requires funding and
requires funding. Mr. Cunningham.
I would agree with what my opponent said, but I will tell you, I have a brother who's a police officer in Manchester, New Hampshire. He's actually a sergeant now. And he has told me the single most important thing is to fund getting the drugs off the street. And which brings me, I think we made a mistake by making marijuana legal in Oregon. I think it's a joke. And we are now showing our children that there's a marijuana parlor on every street corner. And that's the city council's problem there. But there was also a bill introduced in the legislature by my opponent last year and marked as a priority called House Bill 4410. And that authorized marijuana distributors and marijuana wholesalers and retailers to give out free samples at public events. Thank God that didn't pass.
One more question before we get to closing statements. There's a lot of talk about money in politics. How do we get money out of politics and return to our democratic principles? Ms. Fahey?
Well, similar to the earlier question, I think one of the keys is in Oregon, putting limits on campaign contributions, similar to what we do at the federal level. As I said, I would love to see Citizens United overturned. I'm not sure that's going to happen with the current Supreme Court. But in Oregon, we can take action to limit campaign finance contributions. One of my biggest concerns is that when you have the ability for one individual or one organization to just put a significant amount of money into a race, it limits participation by people who have historically been underrepresented in our government. Women, younger people, people of color. One of the reasons why these groups don't run is because they are worried about, you know, raising the money that's necessary to run a campaign. And so if we were to put campaign limits on campaign contributions, I think that would be one step towards enabling greater participation and making our government more representative of the people it serves.
Thank you. Rich Cunningham?
Running for the legislature is an interesting process. It's actually a humiliating process, because if you talk to a consultant or if you talk to someone who's ran any of these campaigns, they would tell you you have to promise to come back after you've knocked on doors for 6 hours and make phone dial for dollars for another 3 hours. I made a pledge very early in this campaign that I would accept absolutely no PAC money. I haven't accepted a dime in it. I haven't raised a whole hell of a lot. I'm up or closer, getting closer to 10,000 at the moment. But it's insanity, the amount of money that's spent on these campaigns. And all it's spent to do is to buy access with the legislatures, and that's insanity.
Thank you both very much. We would like to hear closing statements. There'll be 2 minutes each. And Julie Fahey, will you go first?
Sure.
Thank you.
We have covered a lot of ground today and talked about a lot of different topics, and I think that's good because if there's one thing I've learned, it's that state legislators need to be familiar with the details on a very wide range of topics. We had bills last year on everything from the state's mortuary board to, you know, wage theft to healthcare to education to transportation. So I'm glad that we had such a good conversation about the issues. I believe that my work in the legislature has shown that I am a champion for working families struggling to get ahead, that I will fight for affordable housing, for access to health care, and for a quality education system. Our education system is one of my top priorities because I know that strong schools and good teachers have the power to change lives. I'm proud to be endorsed by education advocacy organizations like the Oregon Education Association, the American Federation of Teachers, and Stand for Children. Unlike my opponent, I believe that politicians should have no place in a woman's personal health care decisions. I've been endorsed by Planned Parenthood PAC of Oregon, and I was a champion of the Reproductive Health Equity Act last year, which is helping to ensure that the full range of reproductive health care options, including abortion, are accessible and affordable for all Oregonians. I believe we need stronger environmental safeguards to protect Oregon's clean air and water and to preserve its natural beauty. And my campaign has been endorsed by both the Sierra Club and the Oregon League of Conservation Voters. But at the end of the day, I know that it's not just about what I personally want to accomplish. It's about listening to the needs of the people in my district. During my first campaign in 2016, I visited the homes, nearly 7,000 homes, to listen to the needs of voters and their very real everyday concerns. To me, that's one of the most important jobs of an elected official, to actually listen to the needs of the people in their district and to make sure that they have a voice in government. I've been proud to be that voice in House District 14 for the last 20 months, and I hope to earn your support again in November.
Thank you. Rich Cunningham, closing statement.
Yeah, I would like to thank the City Club again for holding this, my opponent for having one. I'd also like to suggest to my opponent that maybe we should do this every Friday night in each of the high schools in the 14th district over the next 4 weeks, but I'm sure she wouldn't be too interested in that. I am very concerned with what's happened to education, as I think I've made abundantly clear. There's more to giving out, there is many more critical issues in the state right now, and they include public education funding, they include health care for everybody, they include breaks for the working class, and I would like to see, as far as those breaks go, incentives for businesses that assist with daycare costs. And I think that that could work in Oregon. The other thing that upsets me more than anything is to, you know, sit here and say, I want to give out free marijuana, when the real issues of the day are settling a $24 billion PERS deficit, making funding available for public education, and getting the job done for the working class families. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This does conclude this forum on the race for Oregon House District 14. Thank you very much, Julie Fahey and Rich Cunningham, for your time. President-elect.
Thank you, Tiffany Eckhart from KLCC, for your great moderation today. We'd like to also thank public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6 p.m. And thank you to the Community Television of Lane County, Cable Channel 29, for airing our recent City Club programs as well. Before we conclude, we'd also like to thank some of our gold sponsors, the Network Charter School, Lavis Cub, Jerry Delthelm, architect, landscape architect. And special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM 91.9 Radio, Dot Dotson Photography, Pack Info, and Simplified Computing LLC. And of course, KLCC Radio. City Club programs, again, are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. Next week's program, we will have candidates for the Oregon Senate District 4 race with Floyd Przanski and Scott Roeder, and have invited the candidates from East Lane County Commissioner's race, Heather Bach and Bush, and Gary Williams. More details and information about future programs can be found online at the City Club website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now, let's thank today's speakers once again, Julie Fahey and Rich Cunningham. Thank you all, and this concludes today's program. See you next week.